God's grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear friends. First of all, it's just great to be among you again. Been quite a while, but Peaceful Moment has always had a special place in my heart from the time I was privileged to serve you here several years ago. So it's great to be back. And again, sorry that my wife Mary, who also would have loved to have been here with us, came down with a sore throat and a fever and obviously not up for making the trip down this morning. So anyway, our reflections this morning are from the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." Your fellow believers, have any of you ever been in a situation where people were speaking in tongues? Any of you had that situation? Okay, a few of you have. I remember my first time. I was in campus ministry in Kearney, Nebraska, way back when radio was in black and white. I mean, a long time back. Our campus ministry center had rented out our worship area for a special charismatic groups gathering. And I happened to just crack the door and peek in and what was going on. And wow, it was impressive. People were making all these sounds and arms in the air, falling on the ground and rolling around. I thought, wow, this is nothing like any worship I've seen in a Lutheran setting. But that was my experience of speaking in tongues. It's a quite an amazing phenomenon, in the fact that it's nothing like anything else you might have seen or experienced. If you're outside of it, it's kind of unsettling, maybe awkward, makes you feel sort of like, wow, there's something going on here and I'm not part of it. Actually, that ecstatic kind of utterance is found in various world religions. They have a form of it in Islam, Hinduism, in native religions in Africa and Latin America, where people moved by the Spirit of God just start making these sounds. And so that phenomenon also occurred in the early Christian church. And so Paul is explaining about that phenomenon and trying to put it in perspective. Some have thought that when the Bible refers to speaking in tongues, it's talking about the gift of Pentecost. Remember when the disciples were able to speak the gospel in languages that were the native tongues of Jews that had gathered in Jerusalem for Passover from all over the Roman Empire. And here these lowly disciples were speaking languages they had never studied or would have been exposed to otherwise. But that's not what St. Paul was talking about, okay? He was talking about that kind of phenomenon I mentioned before. That sounds like no known language. It doesn't have grammar or syntax. It's just a whole different kind of series of sounds. In fact, to be real honest, not to be disrespectful, but it would sound like gibberish. If you're from the outside of it, just sounds like a lot of noise, and you kind of think, what's going on here, okay? Now, for those Christians for whom it's important, it is a very meaningful expression of their faith. It's a very deeply emotional kind of experience that just sort of wells up inside of you and just kind of spills out in these noises that are intended to be thanking God, praising God, and the life. It's called glossolalia. There are some Christian bodies, like the group that used our worship center. We call them at times Pentecostal or charismatic Christians. And those church bodies put a strong emphasis on these striking or surprising or shocking evidences of the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues, okay? Some years ago when I was pastor down in Eugene, a couple moved in and started worshiping at our church and wanted to join, and they had become Christians in Montana. And they came to the Christian faith through a Pentecostal congregation. Now, this congregation really put a strong emphasis on speaking in tongues. And in fact, it was their view that if you weren't able to speak in tongues, you hadn't really internalized the Holy Spirit, and you really weren't a follower of Christ. Well, these folks had come to faith in Christ. They believed he was their Savior. And so, wanting to fit in, lo and behold, they started to speak in tongues. Okay? But when we got talking about that phenomenon, they admitted to me, as far as they could tell, they didn't have that gift. They were simply watching the people around them, and they started to mimic what they were doing. Okay? So that they would fit in, so that they would reassure those other Christians that they did indeed have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in them. But that's the concern St. Paul had, was with this phenomenon of speaking in tongues. Because you see, what Paul was interested in, first and foremost, was that any gifts of the Holy Spirit would be utilized to build up the Christian community, to strengthen faith, okay? And his concern with speaking in tongues, with this really weird and different kind of language, was that even though it might be uplifting and spiritually satisfying for those who were doing it, if you weren't tuned into that, it really didn't help the rest of the congregation very much. They couldn't understand what you were doing. Unless maybe there were an interpreter present, whether that person themselves or someone else could interpret. The problem is apparently that was pretty rare too. I've kind of thought humorously myself that if someone had stood up and said, well, I can interpret, what could anyone else say? If they said, well, what they were saying was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Who's going to second guess them? So, but in any case, the concern was that the tongues may have been helpful, particularly for a private consumption or experience. But Paul, as I just read in our text, said, for the sake of the worshiping body, for the Christians gathered, I'd rather speak five words that everyone could understand and therefore would provide instruction or insight or growth for the Christian congregation than to talk 10,000 words in this glossolalia, okay? And that's the bottom line for us as Christians. Certainly we should want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be active and working in our lives, motivating us to get deeper in our faith, share our faith with others. But when we're in the gathered congregation, Paul suggests it's better if that kind of a gift, speaking in tongues, slain in the spirit where you fall and roll and foam at the mouth, those things might best be for private consumption. And frankly, most Christian denominations, like Lutherans, haven't tended to focus on those unusual or more shocking kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit. For those Christians for whom it is important, bless them. You want to respect that and certainly work with them as fellow Christians. But I would say when you're looking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the congregation, I hope you're looking for the gifts that are going to build up the body. And of course, as St. Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians 13, the most important gift and power in evidence of the Holy Spirit is love. There is no gift of the Spirit more important than reflecting the gracious, forgiving, healing, reconciling work of the Holy Spirit. And so if you're going to look for any gifts, look for love. Because as Paul says there, whatever other gifts there might be, the one that's closest to God, the one that'll last from here to eternity, is love. Hope is going to end. Faith will end, because we'll be in sight. All the gifts of moving mountains won't matter anymore. But love, that lasts forever. So I hope that as you think about these gifts of the Spirit, and particularly the one Paul discusses, speaking in tongues, that you will think about how that gift works to build up the body. Does it bring us together? Does it strengthen us in our sense of God's grace, forgiveness? Does it nurture a sense of connectedness among us? Then that's the Spirit at work. And I pray that that Spirit that gives all sorts of gifts, including tongues, may give all of us that greatest gift of all, the gift of love. And with that, happy Valentine's Day a few days ahead. And may the peace of God that goes beyond all of our human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus, our loving Savior. Amen.